What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I'm your host. And today we are talking about tips for living a pure life. And what a relevant topic. You and I are saturated with a culture that it's marketing immorality. You ever thought of it that way? It markets immorality, commercials, advertisements. People are seen as being the James Bonds of the world, as suave and cool by being immoral people. TV shows, movies market immorality through their humor, what they laugh about, what they joke about. When the scripture clearly says, this is one of the things I love about scripture, it's clear. The clarity, the perspicuity of scripture, this is what the scripture clearly says. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. It doesn't get any clearer. God's will it's apparent. The cookies are on the bottom shelf. They don't get on any bottomer of any shelf. What does God want from his people? If you're a follower of Christ, one of the things that you have to be committed to is purity. Purity, that you are living in an impure culture, a sex-filled culture, and yet you're doing your best to be pure in that culture. I'm reminded of passages like 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul acknowledges that there's an unbelieving world that's impure, but that believers are committed to purity. You even go back to the Old Testament, where I was reading Leviticus this past week for my devotions and noticing that Israel is called to abstain from the practices of the nations because Yahweh is the one that makes them holy. They're to be different and distinguished. They're to be set apart and holy unto the Lord. As a Christian, you take your purity seriously. You're all about some purity. And when we live in a culture that tugs at that, how do we practically navigate this? What are thoughts for that? You know, biblical counseling, unfortunately, oftentimes interlapses. Is that a word? We talk about purity quite regularly because there's been a breakdown in a marriage with purity. Or a man that I'm counseling he's transgressed purity. Now he's being impure with his technology and so forth. Biblical counseling, unfortunately, we're dealing with purity issues quite regularly. In this episode, I want to give you practical tips at a 30,000, maybe 40,000 foot level. And then in the next episode, talk specifically about pornography and some of the dangers that pornography brings. But note, I haven't done that yet. I haven't talked about pornography on the podcast or on this show. If you've watched the Transform TV series, you saw that it comes up all the time because that's just such a relevant presenting problem in biblical counseling, purity or pornography. So I want to start kind of in a proactive, like you haven't engaged in pornography yet. You're trying to walk holy. You're trying to walk worthy. You want to honor the Lord with this vessel, to use Paul's term in Thessalonians here. So this is where I want to park. First of all, where does purity begin? Not your environment. Purity doesn't start with canceling your Netflix subscription. Purity is actually a matter of your heart. It's a commitment, something that you do in your inner person. Remember, we're talking about your immaterial heart, the epicenter of why you do what you do. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Or consider the alternative when you're impure. Jesus says, where does adultery begin? It begins when a person lusts for another in their heart, Matthew 5, verse 28. You have to see that, first of all, you are the one to be pure. No matter the environment you're embedded in, and some of you are embedded in pretty wicked environments, honestly. the workplace that you're at is awful. Your roommates are not great people. You're surrounded by immorality. Some of you are at secular universities and it's just rampant. It's like you're embedded in Sodom and Gomorrah. How do you take purity seriously? You see that it's a matter of personal ownership, your heart, that you're not giving into lustful desires. Whereat in your heart, no matter the environment you live in, that environment cannot make you an impure person. Have clarity on that. It's not about the TV and Hollywood scene. It's not about social media. It's about what's happening in your heart. So take personal ownership. Take private ownership. What do I mean by that? When no one is looking, before the Lord, what do you do in that moment? Because if you believe that Psalm 139 is true, that God is with you everywhere you go, to the depths of Sheol, to the heavens, no matter where you are, God is there, then you recognize that purity matters most in private. The level of purity that you have in private is really who you are. Does that scare you? Sorry for screaming in the mic, everybody. But that's true. Who are you in private moments? Who are you driving in the car when no one else knows what's going on? What are your eyes looking at and your mind going to? In the private moments of the night, just before bedtime, what are you thinking about? What are you doing? That's really who you are. Purity starts in your heart. You are personally accountable. You personally take ownership. In the private moments of your life, that is really who you are. Are you pure or are you impure? And if you're not pure in those moments, then it will spill over into public interactions, public relationships. People will see it over time. Some of you are listening to this and you're tinkering with things in private that are very impure. You're harboring thoughts. You're using your phone in an inappropriate way. And you have to hear, that's not private for long. It's not going to stay there. You're playing with fire. You have gas in one hand and a lighter in another. You're playing with fire right now. And you think it's a private sin, but it's not a private sin. It will come out. So where does purity start in your heart? Where is the battle? Your mind. Romans 12:2. This isn't a battle of your body first, although your body is part of the equations, 1 Corinthians 6, that you're a good steward of your body, you recognize the Holy Spirit indwells your body, but this is a battle for the renewal of your mind. Your mind life is the battleground, your thoughts, your imagination, what you're allowing to go on the replay reel of your mind. What do you daydream about? What do you allow yourself to see? What are you thinking about? What do you allow yourself to hear? What songs do you allow yourself to repeat? All of that is feeding your purity. And so this battle in your mind is your battle personally to own. So let me give you the good news. If this is something that we battle personally and privately, what's the weapon of our warfare? We guard it with God's word. That is the central weapon for purity. God's word. In fact, Psalm 119, verse 9, how shall a young man keep his way pure? Do you know the verse? How shall a young man keep his way pure? How? Well, it's not by internet filters, number one. It's not by driving a certain route to work or not going to certain environments. It's by guarding it according to your word. We need God's word to be pure people. This is true for both male and female. We need God's word. So your purity will correspond to your interaction with God's word. If you're impure, if you're wrestling with purity, if you feel like you're being overwhelmed, then let me just tell you what's happening in your life. You are not thoroughly engaged in the word of God. I know that this is what biblical counseling experience has taught me, that you're either in the Bible, you're either meditating on the truth, or you're letting your sin prevent you from being in the scripture and renewing your mind with the scripture. I've seen it too many times where a guy confesses to an immoral action. And I say, hey, man, I know that you've been walking in darkness. So I know that your scripture reading, church attendance, I know all of that is messed up. And how do I know that? Because you can't walk in darkness and walk in the light at the same time. 1 John 5-7. It doesn't happen that way. So what is the offensive weapon that you take? You take the weapon of God's word and you apply that. You saturate yourself. You ingest it. You meditate on it day and night. You're stuffing yourself with God's word because you love him and you want to push out those wayward desires and temptations toward impurity. If you're not in God's word for the battle of the mind and what's taking place in your heart, your struggle with purity will be hard. You'll be unsuccessful. You'll be demotivated because you feel like there's not a lot of growth and change. So the net result is that you just give in to impurity. You're tired. You can't battle it in your own strength. You're trying to muscle your way through this and internet filter your way to honoring the Lord, but it never works. You need the power of the word in your life as applied through the Holy Spirit to transform your mind to be pure. Practically speaking, the number one practical tip, eat the word of God all the time. Meditate on it day and night. Even if you feel like you're not understanding everything that you're reading, read more and read more and saturate yourself and go all in. And what you'll experience is that God slowly starts to transform your mind so that those temptations are less and less and less. That's our starting point. That's our starting point. Why? Because that's what the scripture teaches. Guard it according to your word. Wow, that first segment just blew by. All right, I got to stop. When we come back, I want to give you specific tips for living pure in an impure culture. We will be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to discuss purity. And I want to talk to you about a book that's available right now in our store at FortisInstitute.org. It is Passions of the Heart, Biblical Counsel for Stubborn Sexual Sins. It's by Dr. John Street, an excellent resource, not only to pick up and have on your bookshelf, but one to read and to marinate in and to have in your heart and in your head. It takes a deep look at the passions of the heart, the underlying idolatries that can lead Christians to commit sexual sin. And I also want to ask, while you're there at FortisInstitute.org, would you take a look at all of the information regarding joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your partnership and support help us to continue to produce valuable resources like Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, Wretched Radio and TV with Todd Friel. Every single resource is only made possible because of your generous support. And so if you are in a place in your life where you're already supporting your local church and you're not strapped by any type of debt and you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be greatly appreciative. Get all of the information at FortisInstitute.org. And at Fortis Institute, we're also grateful for our partnership with the Masters University. Did you know that the Masters University and Seminary enrolls over 3,000 students from all over the world? And with church and ministry scholarships of up to $20,000 per year, there's never been a better time to apply at the Masters University. If you're a young believer preparing for college, there's no better place than TMU. Get all of the details right now at masters.edu/transformed. And lastly, for those of you who are interested in going the path of becoming a biblical counselor, well, God bless you, because we need so many more biblical counselors in our churches, and we have some great resources to get you started on that path. One of which I would recommend as a starting point for most anybody is The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. It is a book that presents practical theology for conflict resolution, and it's designed to bring about not only a ceasefire, but unity and harmony. Available now at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues looking at the subject of purity. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible never commands us to love ourselves. Our problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. The problem is actually that we love ourselves too much.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about tips for living pure in an impure culture, a sex-filled culture, a culture that is tugging at our purity. I am not a doomsdayer, meaning I don't believe that our culture is the worst of all cultures. I read 1 Corinthians and I think, man, it seems like the Acropolis, Corinth, was a pretty impure place. Paul talks about joining your body to a prostitute, or 1 Corinthians 5, that there is a stepson and a stepmom that are engaged in immoral actions. And so I'm not one to say that North America in modern times is the most impure place. We are one of many impure places. And how do you as a believer walk in holiness? Let's get down to the things that I think you guys are really benefited by oftentimes when I teach a truth, many of you agree with it. And then your follow-up is, but how does that apply or how would that look in this situation? So let me give you a couple of practical tips, things to consider as you're trying to honor the Lord, be pure in a culture that is not pure. The first principle that I'd like you to consider is that media doesn't have open access to you. It must be chosen. You guys remember the movie Toy Story? The claw chooses who will go and who will stay. The claw is moving. I have been chosen. I want you to think, practically speaking, that you are developing pathways for your media to get to you. And that pathway is YouTube, social media. Most likely you have streaming services on a television in your household, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus. And that you're identifying what is allowed to get to me and what is allowed to not get, or what is disallowed from getting to me would be the clearest way to say that. That's part of why I actually like this new streaming model instead of just a TV model, because the streaming model, you actually choose it or you block it. Whereas TV, you just flip through channels. Sometimes you find things you didn't want to find, so forth. If you don't have a mechanism for saying, no, we're not downloading that app, we're not filtering this out, then that's a starting point for you. You know, your iPhone actually has controls that you can set for yourself and for your kids where things are blocked because of the content of it. If that doesn't work for you, you can get internet software that actually filters out. Accountable to You is a great software. Covenant Eyes is a great software. Put those on your computer, put those on your iPhone, Android devices, and then start to filter out what is allowed to get to you. So media doesn't have access to you. You cannot just be spammed with whatever type of media wants to get to you. It must be chosen, like the claw. You must say, yes, I will allow you ESPN app to get to me, but no, I will not allow you HBO app to get to me. Not welcome here, not welcome in my house, not welcome on my phone or my computer or my tablet. Get out of here, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. All right, so that's number one, which is media doesn't have open access to you. If media has open access to you, your purity will always be a struggle, always be a struggle. You're being undiscerning, you're being silly. And I pray that the Lord doesn't have children in your house that are of age that know how to use a remote control, because you better believe that they will be exposed to things they shouldn't see at a very early point in life. So media, intentional with your media. Number two, purity entails learning a habit. And remember, habits contribute to your sanctification whenever they're God-honoring, spirit-filled. You are learning the habit of bouncing your eyes or closing your eyes from something that is impure. This is just a very practical tip for you. You're driving down the road, you see something that is impure, and you look the other direction. No second glances. Booyah, cut it off, put it off. We are not meditating on whatever that sign was, person was, whatever was going on over there. We are reorienting our gaze. That is a habit that you develop. In that habit, in that nanosecond in time, what are you doing? You're not letting any wicked thing come before your eyes. You are meditating on that which is pure, Philippians 4:8. When you see that movie and they immediately cut to an awful scene, I want you to close your eyes and look away. That's what I do. I probably look like a big baby sometimes. I'll do it in the movie theater. Develop the habit of looking away instantly for the sake of not allowing that stuff to filter its way into your mind. And now you're having to renew your mind with what you just put in there. So put it off, look away, develop the habit of, like a crazy person, I want you to pretend they just maced you. Close eyes, look away, not looking back till the coast is clear. That is what we're trying to cultivate here. And you'll be surprised how that little habit actually helps you renew your mind with the truth of Scripture. Don't put all that junk in there and then wonder why you're struggling with impure thoughts. So number two, learn a habit of bouncing your eyes or closing your eyes away from that impure thing. Number three, Romans 12:9 talks about hating what is evil and abhorring what is evil. The way that immorality and sexual impurity comes along is a person starts to think something like, well, you know, that'd be nice. Oh, that's not the worst thing. And then there's like this frog in the boiling water mentality. You just grow more and more acclimated to it. Before long, you're indulging in it. when you abhor what is evil, I want you to think something like this. That thing is tempting me to dishonor a holy God. A holy God who expects holiness of me. Without me having holiness, I can't fellowship with him. That thing is trying to destroy my relationship with a holy God, a pure God, a righteous God. You're cultivating hatred for that thing. This is for us who are married. You're actually encouraging me to sin against my spouse with that impure thing, that movie, that image, that person. Do you want me to cheat on my spouse? Well, that got serious, didn't it? Is that funny to you? Is that marketable to you? Is that how you're going to sell your product, by you encouraging me to sin against my spouse? That's not funny to me. That shouldn't be funny to you either. How are we cultivating a hatred of evil? We're considering the implications of what happens if we give in to this impurity. You want to sabotage my kid's life? Is that what you're trying to do? You think it's cute or funny, or it's this passionate moment, but then I'm the one that has to go to my kids and say, hey, dad messed up. Dad hurt mom in this way because he indulged in an impure culture. If you hate it, if you really grow to loathe impurity, then it's repulsive to you. I hate what you're trying to do. I hate what you are doing. You're sabotaging the glory of God. You're holding back glory from going to God and it's going to creation, or you're sabotaging people's lives. When you abhor what is evil, it's not a temptation, it's gross. It's like, hey, do you want to eat a rotten fish? No, I don't. That's disgusting. Why would I ever want to do that? Then why would you want to indulge in sexual immorality? Hate it. Loathe it. Be crazy about it. Be crazy about hating it. All right, Ephesians 5:4, next point. Don't give in to coarse jesting, crude joking, is what it says. Don't even quote movies that are impure. Just be a person of God-honoring speech. Don't duplicate that one-off statement from a movie that you can find to be funny. We're not joking about sexually impure stuff. So there's no innuendos, no references, none of that. Like, that's just a clear line that we're drawing in our communication. And if you're looking for a place to hang your hat on, Ephesians 5:4, go there. No crude joking. And that is in the context of sexual immorality. So media doesn't have open access to you. You're learning to bounce your eyes from something that is impure. You're cultivating hatred for impurity. It's taking glory from God. It's sabotaging your life. Number four, you're not joking about it. You're never engaging in crude joking. And then lastly, you are learning to develop this habit of, if I am married, if I'm in a married relationship, I have a posture of not, like, I'm not interested and I'm not open. I want ladies and sisters in Christ to know that there's never a time when I have been overly friendly to them. I've just laughed a little too much at their jokes or complimented their hair in ways that are inappropriate. As a married person, we're trying to communicate very clearly that we are all in on our spouse and no one else. So lastly, you have this not open sign. If you're married, we're just not, like, if we're ever going to come across as distant or cold, it's going to be to a person of the opposite sex. And we're just trying to communicate that, hey, we're committed to our spouse. We don't want to confuse anything that's happening here. We're not texting people of the opposite sex in a private conversation. We're doing our best to avoid that. We're doing our best to not hug, not touch. There's none of that. No close proximity. We want to be very pure in the way we are communicating ourselves to others. And when you do that, see it as an act of love and respect for your brother or sister of the opposite sex. There is a no open sign. We're not interested. We're all in on our spouse. We love them and we're committed to them. Find one of these habits. Listener, I would encourage you, if you're sensing that one of these are deteriorating in your own walk, find one of these habits and say, you know what, Dr. Gifford, you're right. I need to be quicker to bounce my eyes. I need to hate evil more. I'm becoming the frog in the boiling pot of water, or I'm just inundated with media. I'm not being selective about what's coming to me. If you're sensing that impurity is something you need to grow in, then identify one of these application points and do it. God uses your work to bring about change. That's the synergistic nature of sanctification. Do it. Take it seriously. Take it very seriously. It's God's will for your life, as we read at the beginning of the episode. So, of course, I'm always open to your questions. Feel free to write in with them. And in our next episode, I'm going to apply some of these to the particular issue of pornography. So let me pray for us and we'll be done. Lord, I pray that all of us would be committed to purity, myself included. Help us not to play games. Help us not to legitimize sinful actions. Your glory is at stake, and we love you. We want you to be honored in a maximal way in our life. Lord, some of us are entangled in impurity. Would you free us from that so that we could be a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the work of your gospel transforming us and breaking the power of sin in our lives? Give us grace for this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.